We're going to begin in Ruth 1, verse 1, and then we're going to go from there. It reads, "In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab." We're going to go down to chapter 1, verse 22. "So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning." Ruth chapter 2, verse 2 says, "And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor.' Naomi said to her, 'Go ahead, my daughter.'" Now we're going to go to chapter 4, verse 14, 15, and 17. "The women said to Naomi, 'Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth.'" Verse 17 of chapter 4. "The women living there said, 'Naomi has a son,' and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to wrap our hearts around your living word. We ask that you would meet us, that you would, God, speak profoundly into our hearts, and that your truths would shape and transform our lives. We thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, one of the things that I find that I actually enjoy quite a bit is seeing before and afters. So HGTV is a great channel to watch. Yesterday, I found myself watching a bit more Fixer Upper than I normally do. And I was just struck by the before and after. It's a beautiful thing when you see contrast, when you see progression, when you see things that really pop out in light of what it used to be or what was, something that stands out. Kind of like fish swimming upstream, where against the current you see like, wow, that's noteworthy. They should be going downstream given the pressure, but they're going upstream. And I think one of the things that it's important that we've touched on, but that we go back to and we kind of like really cement and frame what's happening in the book of Ruth, is that there's an incredible contrast between what's happening in this book and what's happening in Israel broadly at this time. We talked about that this all happened. Verse 1 alludes to it. The book of Ruth is taking place during the time of the judges. And we've talked about before that this was a season marked by incredible unfaithfulness to God. God's people were given over to idolatry, to immorality. They were living in ways that did not honor him, that did not reflect his faithfulness. And yet, when we look at the book of Ruth, we see this incredible snapshot of faithfulness to God. This community, these people, that despite the culture around them, they were incredibly faithful. It's almost like a time freeze. If you've ever been to Amish country, where you go like, everyone else, life has moved in this, but here, it's paused. It's remained the way it has. For in the book of Ruth, it's paused. It's despite all this unfaithfulness, we see a people that are incredibly faithful. And it's not just the individuals, it's the community of people. And it's not just like broad faithfulness or spectacular faithfulness. Honestly, when you unpack the book, it's really unimpressive, non-noteworthy, non-spectacular faithfulness that is happening in this book that's moving this story along. For instance, we read verse 22. It begins, this whole narrative gets moving as they move from Moab to Bethlehem. You would think, how could a simple move be so cataclysmic and so important and progress? But it was non-impressive. It wasn't front page of the news. They moved. And yet, in this move, something spectacular begins to happen over time. Then we see Ruth. One of the things that we find out as the story progresses that Boaz sees her working in the field, and this starts this chain of events, and we're impressed by all that's happened. But we have to focus in on the fact that, quite simply, what caused the narrative to move forward was Ruth goes and works hard in a field. Manual labor. She goes and works with her hands in this field. Not for career advancement, she wasn't trying to be CEO, just to feed herself. She gets married. Now, marriage is a big deal. I don't want to downplay that, but who would think, you know, when you go into marriage, most people don't think my marriage is going to be connected to saving the world. You know, like as much as you're in love, you know, just like I do, and we're going to change the world. Like most, that's not typically what goes. And if that happens, you normally keep that to yourself because it's incredibly egotistical. But Ruth gets married, a simple marriage. And yet by the end of the story, we find out that this move to get married to Boaz causes this Moabite woman, who is outside of the lineage of Jesus, outside of the community of God, now she is part of the lineage of Jesus. Simple, faithful, small things. Again, one of the really noteworthy things in the book of Ruth that we've talked about is that here is a book of the Bible that has no miracles, no prophecies, nothing supernatural overtly. And yet, we see God's plan moving forward. So there's this theme of faithfulness. We see faithful individuals. Naomi's heart, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Naomi, her heart toward her daughters-in-law. She just loved them so much that she wanted the best for them. She said, stay here. She could have been selfish. She could have been manipulative. She could have been like, hey, you owe me, you know, and none of that. None of the kind of selfish potential tendencies in our hearts come out. She was just faithful, loving. We see that in Naomi. We see Ruth's faithfulness to Naomi. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. The extraordinary willingness on her part to say, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. I will forego the possibility of getting married, staying in my homeland with my parents, with my family, to follow you. And then we see Boaz's faithfulness to Ruth. We talked about that last week, how costly it was for him to redeem her. One of the things that we've alluded to but haven't teased out that we looked at last week was this community, their care for the poor. This community that we see in the book of Ruth, they practiced the gleaning laws. This was a law that was in place, but it didn't mean that people practiced it. A lot of people, for fear of scarcity, for selfishness, instead of obeying a God, God would tell them, don't harvest the whole field, leave the edges for the poor, for they can harvest it and feed themselves. Don't go over the field twice. Whatever you drop, let the poor pick up. That was a law that was in place. Didn't mean that people practiced it, but yet these people practice it. They practice a form of justice and mercy for the poor. We see just the beauty of hard work in the book of Ruth. It's a book filled with manual labor. Hard, unimpressive, unspectacular, non-corner office, CEO, impressive status kind of work. No, it's faithful work. And then one of the things that happens in the book of Ruth that's really noteworthy is that by the end of the book, we see that these people have fully accepted Ruth into their community. So much so, they praise her in their prayers and in their exaltations. They join her with the faithful names of other matriarchs in God's history, in the history of God's people. You got to understand, Ruth was a Moabite. There was a natural resistance, even a prejudice against people that were outside of God's people. And yet Ruth, by the end of the book, she's invited in. And she's welcome because they saw who she was and her character. For me, the book of Ruth gives me hope for the words of Dr. King, where he says, I dream of a day that I would be judged not by the color of my skin, but the content of my character. Where it's possible God's people being faithful to God could see past whatever prejudices would exist in this world and see the dignity in someone. And they saw it in Ruth. Ruth is welcomed in. It's a profound snapshot of a people who were faithfully waiting for God to fulfill his promise of a Messiah to come. And in that faithful waiting, faithfully worked, faithfully cared for the poor, faithfully followed God in just and equitable ways. Now, I realize that the idea of being faithful in the way that we see in the book of Ruth is becoming particularly harder in our culture. Because being hidden, going slow, not favoring gifts over faithfulness is hard in our world. Our world, it's hard, our hidden private space is decreasing more and more every single day. Where we have less private moments, less private things, most of it because of our own volition. We are choosing to not be private in this social media saturated world. But it, even beyond that, it's just, it's in the air, it's in the age. The idea of someone being hidden, of someone not drawing attention, it's harder. It's harder in our culture. You know, the success that a person's gifts can create is favored more than the faithfulness of their character. We live in an age where if you can produce, it doesn't matter if your character isn't great, we just care about the results. And you can be elevated to positions of power and authority in our world, even if your character is just jacked up, if people think you can produce. So faithfulness that's hidden, that's quiet, that's solid, is something that we don't value. How many of you have seen people in your own jobs get promoted that, man, it was like, that wasn't a great move. They're not, their character isn't faithful, but maybe they knew how to be political or this or that. And you, it's in our culture, in our time, where it's just, we don't honor faithfulness. We don't value it. Hidden, quiet, slow, kind of put your head down and get it done just for the sake of getting it done, not drawing attention. That's harder and harder to see. And then even being faithful, because one of the things to be faithful, I wish this wasn't the case, but you can't be faithful in a 24-hour period and say, I've been faithful. You know, like you can, it's just not how faithfulness works. Faithfulness works over a slow period of time where it's tested out. Faithfulness is tested when it doesn't feel great, and yet you still do it because you committed to it. Faithfulness is when the weather is bad, when it's challenging, when you have every legitimate excuse to not be where you said you were going to be, and yet you show up. Faithfulness is born out, but that doesn't just happen. You can't say I'm faithful when you just did it once. It's faithful over time, where your name becomes synonymous with that person's faithful. That's harder in our culture because we prefer fast and instantaneous. I have a friend that he's directed a few short films, and he's won some particular, I'm so bad at it. Is the award an Emmy, right? Okay, it's not a Tony, right? Okay, there's an award, and he's won several of them for his directing. It was fascinating. He told me a story where he was at kind of the talent agency, and he was talking to the office manager, young lady, super bright, maybe like 21, 22, and accomplished, went to a great school, and she looked like down. And my friend, he's like super driven. So the fact that he noticed that she was having a moment is impressive, because typically he just like steamrolls, you know? And he said, yeah, she looked really down. And so he asked her, he said, what's up? You know, and she's like, you know, I'm just really stressed out. You know, my career seems to be stalled out. You know, I should be a managing director by this age. Or, you know, I have friends that are in startups that are millionaires at this point. You know, I'm 22. I just feel so hopeless, you know, so frustrated. And so he's my age, and he's just like, oh, man, I don't even know how to talk to this, you know. Like, based on that metric, I should jump off a bridge, you know, he's thinking. But honestly, within our culture, it's harder and harder to tell people, hey, there's a path called slow faithfulness and hard work over time that God sees, he honors, versus the instantaneous success that some people experience and we think is just a norm. It's hard. But here in the book of Ruth, we see unimpressive, ordinary faithfulness leading to extraordinary things. Like, we have to realize there is no birth of Obed, no joining the lineage of Jesus without these simple things, without Ruth working hard in the field, without them moving, without all these small, unimpressive, non-front page of the paper things. There is no aha moment at the end of the text to say, oh my God, God was working. And look what he did by the end of this story. It's important that you and I recapture this idea of faithfulness, especially in our fast-paced city that pushes us to prefer the quick, the easy, the flashy versus faithful. I'm going to do this because it's right, not because it feels great, not because I get attention. It's the right thing to do because I committed to it. How powerful would it be for us to recapture this idea? Because it's missing. It's sorely missing. And it's missing in all sorts of ways. It's missing in business. How great would it be if you've ever dealt with a contractor, done renovations? How great would it be if they say something, they do it, right? You know, it's how great would it be if you do a business deal and you know, I walk away. Like, think about all the lawyers and all the stuff you have to put into a situation just because you can't trust. Because it's like, we shook on it, we signed it, and yet I don't know. Think about how sorely lacking faithfulness is in our world, where people say things and they do the complete opposite. It's severely needed, and yet we see in the book of Ruth these people who were faithfully waiting for God to fulfill his promise to send the Messiah, and as they were faithfully waiting, they lived faithfully in all these unimpressive, unspectacular ways. We need faithfulness in our homes. We need faithfulness in our relationships. We need faithfulness in our disciplines. We need faithfulness in small things. We need to recapture it. Why do we need to recapture? Because God's intent all along, whenever he called the people and created a people in this world, he wanted his people to mirror his character in the world, to live in such a way that the watching world would see something so beautiful, so spectacular, that they would be drawn to the motive why they live that way. And his desire has always been for you and I to be an advertisement, to be a slogan, to tell the world something about him. And one of the most profound ways that you and I can proclaim the goodness of God is by hidden faithfulness. By just simple faithfulness in our jobs, in our workplaces, in our schools, in any environment that we find ourselves in, that's one of the greatest ways that we can proclaim who God is. That's why St. Francis of Assisi, his famous quote is, preach the gospel, use words if necessary. Faithfulness preaches something profound. When we're faithful to not gossip, when we're faithful to not go with the flow of office politics, when we're faithful to not just be silent when things are being said and done around us that clearly don't reflect God's ways, when we're faithful in our money, in our time, in our word, it says something profound to the world. And one of the reasons why you and I have the remotest chance to be faithful, because let's face it, our hearts are inclined toward unfaithfulness. Our hearts are inclined toward breaking our word, breaking our promises, to not being true to who we are. But one of the things that's happened for us as followers of Jesus that has radically changed the trajectory of our life is that we have become faithful in response to the faithfulness of God. The cross, look at this passage that changes everything, that allows, gives us the hope to be faithful people. Because this passage describes the faithfulness of God in the midst of a faithless world. Romans 5, 6 says this, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." In the midst of our unfaithfulness to God, God was faithful to himself and faithful to love us in sending his son to die on our behalf, to redeem us. That act of radical faithfulness in the midst of unfaithfulness in this world changes us who follow Jesus. And now that empowers us from within to be faithful in the midst of a faithless world. Colossians 3:17 says this, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." What a verse that calls us to the heart of faithfulness. What empowers us to be faithful is when we grab this posture and say, everything I do, I'm going to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. So I'm going to be faithful not to be noticed. I'm going to be faithful not to get a name for myself. I'm going to be faithful in response to God's faithfulness to me. That frees us and that empowers us, because wouldn't you say it's difficult to be faithful? Sometimes at work, when the environment is just, it's not conducive, it's not healthy, it's faithful to be faithful to God's word when you're being tested and tempted and you're being attacked and all this stuff. It's difficult to be faithful when no one's watching, when you know it's just you and God, and there's going to be no reward externally from people, and yet you know God's word to be true, and you know the clarity of the call to be faithful, and yet what empowers us to be faithful is that we do everything we do in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, I was struck this morning as I came in, not an abnormal Sunday. Got here a little after 8 to see the worship team here rehearsing, seeing everything set up, seeing the kids' space set up, seeing our folks that get here super early and they leave well after we leave, and they don't do it for fame, notoriety. They do it just, they're faithful. All the faithfulness that it takes to be a community. Recently, I started to lead a home group, actually, with Sanal in Long Island City, and it's been amazing. And I, honestly, in full disclosure, I haven't led a home group since I was a teenager when I came to Christ. I've taught a bunch of classes and preached a ton, but leading a home group, it's pretty amazing. And it's given me a greater, deeper love and appreciation for the faithfulness of so many of our small group leaders who open up their homes, who host, who prepare space in this hidden way where it's difficult work, and yet they do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. But I'm also struck where I've met with some folks in our church that this one individual recently got an impressive promotion at the job. And you, when you meet him, super quiet, humble, doesn't draw attention. And yet the words of his superiors were, we know you're hardworking. We know when we give you something, it gets done. These are superiors that are not followers of Jesus, and yet they recognize there's something faithful about this individual. It's the faithfulness of God's people. It moves things. It moves us forward in his plan. I have a friend that his startup was just sold in Pittsburgh to Yelp, and he told me that when the CEO at that point, he got his friend hired at the company, another faithful follower of Jesus, and the boss told him this. I love this. The boss said, I want you to find 10 other guys like that, 10 other women like that. That is hard work. That is integrity. And my friend, his greatest joy was just like, he knows that this guy goes to my church. What would it look like if you and I were so moved by the faithfulness of Jesus that in every aspect of our life, wherever we find ourselves, we would do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we would exhibit the faithfulness that's changed us. We see what happened in Ruth's life. We see what happened in Naomi's life. Faithfulness in small things connected them to God's bigger story. And in your life and mine, if we would allow God to invite us into being faithful, the things that God could do.